37 verse 4 with me this morning. We're just going to use two scriptures this morning. And I'm going to share with you what the Lord told me to share. And there's a couple of you here this morning that really need to hear this, because the Lord is specifically speaking this to your heart this morning. And this is what it says in Psalms chapter 37 verse 4. Are you there with your Bibles? He has it up. All right. It says, delight thyself. Say that with me, thyself. Delight yourself or thyself. That English is not what we would use today. But delight yourself also in the Lord. And look what he says. And he will give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to build this for just a minute before I get into the meat of it. And I want to share a couple of things about this word delight. How many knows people delight in chocolate? Let me tell you some things about chocolate before I get too far into this. My wife is a lover of chocolate. Lovers use chocolate to express their affection one for another. Husbands use it to make up with their wives after a fight. And then here's some rules of chocolate that I picked up. It says this: if you have melted chocolate on all your fingers or your hands, you're eating too slow. Chocolate covered raisins, cherries, and all count as fruit, so you can eat as many as you want. Chocolate before each meal, it'll take the edge off your appetite and you'll eat less. A nice box of chocolate can provide your daily intake of calories in one setting. Isn't that handy? If you eat the equal amount of chocolate, dark and white chocolate, isn't that a balanced diet? Chocolate has many preservatives. Preservatives make us look younger. And your preference may not be chocolate this morning. But I want to say this morning. Each and every one of us in here today delight in something. But God has given us a directive. And he says, delight yourself in the Lord. Here's why I'm asking, or why I'm sharing this with you this morning. This word delicacy is what we talked about in the chocolate, and delight. They come from the same root word. And what it means is this: what brings you delight? If you ask parents what brings them delight, you'd see it. Their children. Yesterday at that Easter egg hunt, I watched parents, little kids do the silliest little things, but the parents' face light up. Their heart radiates with joy, delight. Seeing their kids experience life. Seeing their kids get joy. And this is one of the things that brings delight to us. Men delight in sports, football, baseball, boxing, basketball, and ice hockey. And I haven't figured that one out. But men delight in a lot of things. I delight in football. And I'm telling you, during college football season, if I can catch a game, now I've learned to put my flesh under. But I used to be, you know what an alcoholic is? Well, I was a football-holic. I would call my wife on Mondays and I'd say, guess what tonight is? And she'd say, what? And I'd say, are you ready for some football? You remember that? Because I just loved it. I could tell you every statistic about everybody because I delighted myself in that. And see, that's what I'm talking about this morning. That's what delight is. Let me tell you what football is. Football is where 22 men badly needing rest are watched by 22 million men who badly need exercise, and the only exercise they get is run into the kitchen. Then there's these other kind of delights we have. There's men that like hunting, fishing, camping, and so on. And I'm telling you, they can tell you everything there is about those kind of activities. I got guys at work when it comes deer season. How many knows what a deer does around rutting? Their neck gets real big. Well, all these guys at work, I mean, literally, it looks like their neck grows. And you can ask them anything you want to about deer hunting, and they can tell you A to Z about deer hunting. And then when you ask them a little bit about their job, they get this puzzled look on their face. Amen. Why? Because they delight in those activities. And JD, who used to be an avid fisherman, don't fish as much as he used to, more of a fisherman of men, him and Edith. But you get him to talking about fishing, and he'll start talking about snagging, and his face just lights up like a light bulb. He'll start reminiscing old stories of how they pulled these mammoth-sized fish out of there. And he can tell you every detail of it. Why? Because he took great delight in doing that. Women delight in shopping, most women. And garage selling. My wife likes to go to garage sales. Well, I've been to a few, and I think it's the most boring thing on the face of the earth. It doesn't do nothing for me. But women, my wife, and I know you like to do that, and antique stuff. My wife likes to browse, and she'll pick up things, look at it, and I mean, every which way you can, and she just, you can see it. It's enjoyment to her. She delights in that. My brother-in-law's an antique fanatic. He delights in antiques. He goes all over the country buying antiques. Everything the boy owns is antique. He delights in it. I'm not telling you that's wrong. I'm trying to get you to see what delight is this morning. Delight is not a bad thing. My wife, like I said, likes to go to the mall and stuff. I go to the mall and I sit there and eat jelly beans and sit out there and watch people walk around. And I can just see the faces. People just get off on shopping. Now, my wife also likes to watch cooking shows, and I can see because I can try to talk to her during those times, and she just ignores me. It's like, hey, out there, somebody's talking to you, but she's so engrossed in what she's watching, she's delighting in it, that you can't get her attention away from it. And she likes cooking shows, antique roadshow, things like that. She likes these do-it-yourself, fixer-up type things, which always turns into a home project. And youth delight in video games, going to movies, hanging out with friends, and not doing their homework, praise God. And some kids delight in cars. My boy Stephen, he is a car fanatic. I mean, the other day, about once a week, he takes out this leather stuff. He's got a leather dash and seats, and he'll wipe everything down just so, he's just so involved in it. Why? Because he loves it. He delights in it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Let me tell you what you might identify delight with is it is excitement inside, a tingle or a spark when you're doing something you really love to do or you're with someone you really love. Like this one lover that said to his partner, when I held you in my arms, I felt a cold chill run down my spine and I thought it was true love until I realized it was your ice cream cone running down the back of my neck. Delight, it says, Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself, say this with me, also. Here's the reason I want to point that out is this. God knew we would have other desires in life and delights. That's why he said, delight thyself also in the Lord. In other words, God doesn't have a problem with you having other delights in life. He made this life to be enjoyed. Jesus said, I come to give you life and it to the full. God wants you to enjoy life to the maximum. Everything you do, whatever you do, it says, do as unto the Lord and do it heartily. And God wants you to enjoy it. Delight thyself also in the Lord. God knows that we would have other desires. Why? Because God created us. And he shall give you the desires. Look at that word desires. That's plural. That means multiple. That doesn't mean single. But I want you, before looking at this more closely, note this word delight is found right in the middle of a progression of fret and rest. And I want you to bring up verse 1 through 7. I want to show you something here. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as light, and thy judgment as noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Here's what I want you to see. Verse 1, it says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. You know what this is? This is when we notice what others possess and we comment like things like, that's not fair. After all, see how wicked those people are. Listen to me. God knows what people have and don't have. And it's not none of our business what they do or don't have. God says, don't worry about that. Why? Because God will take care of you. We say things, well, I've been faithful to God. Why isn't he blessing me? Listen, if we'll watch what God is doing in our life and pay attention to what God is doing in our life and quit worrying about everybody else, God will make sure we get our portion. Amen. And then verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. You know, worry is best replaced by trust. Trust in the Lord. You know, when you're fretting yourself, like in verse 1 about everything else, you're not trusting in the Lord. No, no. I'm talking to this side of the crowd, sister. Trust in the Lord and do good. The altar's up here if you want to come. Go ahead, sister. Trust in the Lord and do good. Worry is best replaced by trust. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4 says, delight thyself in the Lord. And this is the key to everything before and after in verse 4. Verse 5 says, commit thy ways to the Lord. You know what it means to commit your ways to the Lord? Making a lifetime, a lifestyle out of it. That's what commitment means. This is not a bad word in church, but in church you don't hear much of it anymore. Why? Because people don't want to commit. You know, you throw a rock in a pack of dogs and the one that gets hit is the one that hollers. I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Last night there was a preacher on TV, and he's a well-known preacher down in Florida. He's an older gentleman, and he was talking about Job. And Job was from the land of Uz. And he said Job was from the land of Uz. He's talking about the wizard. He said Job was a wizard of Uz. And everybody just broke up. And he like to never got control of his church again. And he said, Lord, forgive me for saying something that foolish. But we can have a little fun, can't we? So he said, submit your ways unto the Lord. That's what that word commit. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, making a lifetime and a lifestyle out of it. You know, people who want God to give them the desires of the heart. Let me tell you something today. And Robbie, I was talking to you the other day, and I hope you don't mind me using you as an example. But if you want God's blessing on your life, this is the recipe for the blessings of God in your life. It is commit your ways unto the Lord. Make a lifetime. Make a lifestyle out of it. And then God says He'll give you the desires of your heart and He'll bring those things to pass in your life. Now look at verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know what that means? Realizing real relaxation. You know, people, we have a hard time with relaxing anymore because of the society we live in. And the society drives us. It's not so bad right now because the economy is so bad that people's not so out to get ahead in life and push. Right now we're in a survival mode, so to speak, and people aren't got to have more. But listen to me. God says rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And you can relax in God. We don't have to be like the world. You know, it's stressful when we try to make things happen in our life constantly, trying to get ahead, dog-eat-dog world. Well, the Christian life isn't supposed to be that way. So let's consider, as we consider these verses, there are three questions that come to my mind. And one is, what does it mean to delight? This word delight comes from the Hebrew word, and it is this. It says, to make to be happy about, to make merry over. Are you happy? Ask yourself this morning. Am I happy? Am I merry over the things of God? You say, I knew you was going to come to this, preacher. You always do. As one writer put it, to delight yourself in the Lord means to delight in, listen to this, the character, the nature, the will, and the ways of God, as a means of increasing excellence, usefulness, and enjoyment. Some people think you're either born with a desire for the things of God or you're not. It's in your genes. It's hereditary. That's not true. Listen to me. I was born in sin. All of us were born in sin. And I wasn't born in a Christian family. I had a divine appointment along the way. And my desire for God has grown and grown and grown and grown. You ever have setbacks, couple? But I'm telling you that I didn't hurt. In my family, I was the one that led most of my family to Jesus. There wasn't anybody saved in my family that I know of. So it's not hereditary. There was a guy on TV given an interview one time, and this is what he said. He said, some people think we should let our children be allowed to grow up and then as adults decide whether or not they would like to have a relationship with God. He said, it's like acquiring a taste for fish. The more you're exposed to it, the more you love it. Listen to me. We need to expose our children at a very young age to the things of God. And I want to tell you this too. We need to keep them in church because the world is alluring and pulling and drawing them away, and their desires will be perverted if you're not careful. But if we will expose them to the things of God, the chances are that they'll take up the things of God. Yes, there comes a time in their life when they have to make a decision for themselves. But one thing I've noticed, we don't fully believe that we inherit a heritage for the Lord. In other words, it's not hereditary, but we can be influenced for the things of God. And I want to tell you something, parents. Your children know whether or not you really are influenced by God. They know whether or not you're the real deal or not. They know whether or not you love the Lord like you say you do. Listen to me. We can influence our children about God from a very early age. And you know what I found out about parents? And this is true. This is a universal truth that I found out. Is that if the father likes it, the child will like it. I got a brother who was a sports fanatic and everything, had to be the best at everything he did. And his two boys, I mean, from the time they were little, because he loved it, they loved it. There's guys at work that they go hunting and fishing, and their boys grow up to be just like their daddy. They got to do everything daddy does. If they go hunting, they go with them. And then they go fishing, they go with them. Or what their parents do. Girls are the same way. The things that the mom likes, the girls will naturally gravitate towards. Amen. So what am I saying? I'm saying if we will get our kids involved in church at a young age, then the chances are when they get older, that's when he says that they won't depart, that they'll acquire this taste for God. They'll acquire this delighting themselves in the Lord and the things of the Lord. So I've noticed that if the parents like to do certain things, then the kids usually like to do it too. So what's the outcome of us delighting in the Lord? Here's a prime example of what we call a dynamic partnership between God and man. Man delights, God gives. I'll say that again. Man delights, God gives. Are you listening? If you'll delight yourself in God, God will give you the desires of your heart. I can tell you today, me and my wife, we have a list of things over the years that we believe God for, and we mark them off as God fulfills them. And why would God do that for us? Because we're delighting ourselves in Him. This word translated desires is mishalah. Say that with me. Mishalah. You just spoke some Hebrew. It's only found twice, and this is what it means. Request, petition, or desire. The desires of the heart then are really this, the prayers of your heart. One commentator named Adam Clark, he put it this way. The godly man never indulges in a desire which he cannot form into a prayer to God. In other words, you're gonna have the right kind of desires if you're delighting yourself in the Lord. Me too, sister. You're going to have the right kind of desires if you're delighting yourself in the Lord. You're not going to want something contrary to what God wants. And that's why God says He can give you a blank check. He can give you the desires of the heart. Why? Because God places those desires within you. Let me ask you something this morning. If God puts a desire in us, why wouldn't He want to fulfill it? Huh? But He wants us to have the same desire. Did you know when two get in agreement, God says they can touch in anything, God will give it to them? When the psalmist said He'll give you the desires of the heart, it sounds like he's saying, here's a blank check. Reminiscence of what Jesus said in John 14, 13 and 14. He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? That's an awesome statement. And here's another one. 1 John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. I want you to notice what He says here, though. He says He will give you the desires of your heart, not your flesh. Why? Because the flesh is always contrary to the will of God and the things of God. Man who delights in God desires or asks nothing but what will please God, because it is safe for God to give them a blank check. What is the kind of desires I'm talking about today? I'm talking about your children being saved. I'm talking about healing for your body. I'm talking about success in life. Did you know He told Joshua, if you'll do all these things, you'll listen to my word, hear my word, obey my word, you'll find good success. God wants us to have success in life. Listen to me. If we don't have any kind of success in life and we're just broke, busted, disgusted, why on earth would the world want anything of what we got? God has something better than what the world has to offer. A lot better. We don't have to get it the way they get it. So success in life, that's what it is. Prayers of our heart, salvation for our children. If it's a job, God, that is a good desire. Why? Because God tells us work. You know what the desires of God are? And the righteous, they agree. And when we get in agreement with God, God will give us the desires of our heart. You know why this man I pointed out this morning, and she gave me this and I did it on purpose, is, you know why this man here has won 51 million people to Jesus since year 2000? Because that's a desire of his heart. You know what he asked God for in his early ministry? He says, God, give me Africa. Now he's well on his way. You know why God gave him Africa? Because that's a desire of God's heart. You know why I believe God can fill this church? Because that's His desire. You know why I believe that we can turn this community upside down for God? Because that's the desire of God. I'm not asking God anything that He don't want. If we'll get in line with what God wants, He says He'll give it to you. He said, your responsibility is this. Here's where we miss it. Church, this is where we miss it. We don't delight ourselves in the Lord. We don't delight ourselves in God. We delight ourselves in everything under the sun but God. Listen to me, men. If the very thing that you watch on TV, the sports and things that you get so worked up about, the Phoenix Suns, John, passionate about them. He knows when they're coming on, don't you, John? He knows who they're playing. He knows who their best players are. He knows who to watch and who not to watch. He knows when one of them's hurt when they're coming back. Just ask him. And I'm picking on you, John. I'm that way about certain things. But that kind of passion for something, why? That means he enjoys it. That means he's given himself fully to that. This is the kind of passion God's asking from us to him. He said, delight yourself in me. And look what he says. There's great benefit. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Sister, you got children that need to be saved? Delight yourself in the Lord. And He'll give you those desires. And I want to tell you something. God would not give you the desires if He didn't intend on fulfilling them. If God births them, He'll bring them to pass. How does delighting take place? I'm going to tell you. Delighting in the Lord is something that we do for ourselves. Notice the word here, thyself. I can't pump you up for God. Not for more than 10 minutes. I get you to church and yes, anointing get on me and you'll get pumped up because you feel it. I feel it. And when we leave here, it ain't 30 minutes later, we're fizzling. I can't do it for you. Delight thyself in the Lord. Come on, church. It's time we heard the truth. Delight yourself. Work yourself up in the Lord. You the one when nobody's there and the devil's pounding on your door and he's telling you how sorry things are and how bad you feel and how gloomy things are. You're the one that's got to delight yourself in the Lord. You know when he says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? He didn't say your pastor's going to run over your house and throw it around you and say, woo, glory to God. No, he says, you put on the garment of praise. Are you with me? Delight thyself. When nobody's around and John's come in here and caught me sleeping before the Lord. When nobody's around and it's just you and the Lord, you gotta delight yourself in God. Your husband can't make you do it. Your wife can't make you do it. Your brothers and sisters, Lord, can encourage you and they're supposed to, but ultimately it says thyself. That's something that's personal. Did you know this whole relationship we have with God is personal? It's personal. When God says, I'm the vine, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branch, that means you're attached to Him. It's a personal connection to the Lord. We got to delight ourselves in Him. And we have to do it. Amen. Look at what else it says. The responsibility is ours. We are responsible for our attitude towards God. I'll say that one again. We are responsible for our attitude towards God. Well, you don't know what somebody said to me or done to me at church. We are responsible for our attitude towards God. They are responsible. Listen, all that's hogwash. If you was the pastor, you'd understand what I'm talking about. Man, I get beat up. But you know what? I do it because I love the Lord. And because God called me. And I delight myself in the Lord. And the Lord keeps me pumped up. He keeps me high on Him. He keeps me high on the things of God. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles here. And we're going to get ready to close here. If your relationship with the Lord has, you've let it grow cold, lifeless, the remedy for that is delight yourself in the Lord. Revelation chapter 2, this is a church that had lost its fire. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, I believe it is. Look what it says. These folks lost their delight, and God had to remind them. Verse 4 through 5 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, whence thou hast fallen, repent, and do thy first works. Do you remember what it was like when you first fell in love with Jesus? Do you remember that everything seemed brand new? Do you remember that you couldn't get enough of fellowshipping with other believers? Do you remember that you couldn't get enough of reading your Word and the Holy Ghost expounding in the Word and showing you new revelations, and it would mind-boggle you, and you would think on it for days sometimes, say, oh God, that's awesome. That I never seen that. How could that be? And the Holy Spirit just commune with you. Do you remember the times you entered your prayer closet and you just couldn't wait to get in there just to feel the presence of God and hear the voice of God and know that He's real? That's what He's talking about. That's what He's saying. If your delight has fizzled, you need to get back to that first love. That's what it was all about. Man, when I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm not sure sometimes when church folks get saved anymore, they're really saved. Because they don't have the experience I had. You say, well, should we measure by you? No, but I'm saying there should be some desire there. It's not a take it, leave it attitude. And I'm telling you, when I got saved, man, I got baptized. I got immersed into the body. And when I came out speaking in tongues. And I'm telling you, I was so in love with Jesus. Everything around my life was built around what does God want in my life? And I was so happy. Did you know, things didn't mean a lot then. And then somehow or another along the way, things start getting entering in and they clutter things. Be sure of this. God don't mind us having things, but He don't want things to have us. Do the things of this world hold more appeal than God? Then the remedy is delight yourself in the Lord. Did you know when a husband and wife relationship starts to grow cold, the best way to rekindle it is delight yourself in one another. That's how you get it. What first attracted you and made you love one another? Man, I remember when Donna and I first met, I didn't even like to talk on the phone. But buddy, I couldn't get enough of it then. I didn't think a whole lot about combing my hair that much. But buddy, I combed it all the time then. I carried mouthwash under my seat, a toothbrush, and toothpaste. I never ironed my clothes. But after that, every time I went to her house, my clothes were freshly pressed. Why? I was delighting myself in her. Why would we give God any less? We want to give God our leftovers and say that's good enough, God. No, we need to delight ourselves in the Lord. If our walk with the Lord is on and off spirits, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll rekindle that passion for Him. Has the business of our daily schedule pushed God to the side so that we only think of Him when a crisis hits? We have in America crisis Christianity. Delight yourself in the Lord. Have burdens of life caused you to feel that love of God has been removed from you? Delight yourself in the Lord. Come on up, Nina, if you will. Here's the last three questions. If it is our responsibility, he said, delight yourself in the Lord, thyself. How do we do this? Number one, association. Get with people who are excited about Jesus. You know, when she come back from the Reinhardt Bunky thing, she glowing like a light bulb. And she come into the office this morning and it was like a wind went by me. And I was like, I think I'll catch that. Did you know that this thing with God is something that you catch? It can be contagious. Associate with people who are like-minded, who have enthusiasm about God. Let them be your primary influence. You will rise or you will fall with the company that you keep. And understand this. If you're going out for God, be sure the devil's going to send people to distract you and turn you the other way. That's his nature. He says he sowed thorns among the wheat. And then the next thing is meditation. Consider the benefits of the Christian way and the promises of God. Joy and peace come from His Word. Spend time in His Word. There has never been a time when I didn't put my flesh under and I went and spent time in God's Word that I didn't come out all on fire for God. And peace and joy was my portion. And the third thing is communicate. Pray. Did you know, we think, this is an old saying, absence makes the heart grow fond. Not true, not with God. Absence makes the heart grow hard. You need to spend time with God. You have to spend time with God. Or the world and the cares of this life, the Bible says, will make your life, your ground unfruitful and cause your ground to get harder. No, absence does not make you grow fonder. It causes you to grow distant from God. So, take an inventory this morning. What delights you? Is it God? I believe this morning, every one of you that's here, because there is something in you that wants God. Or you wouldn't be here this morning. Go ahead, Nina. I want to give you an opportunity to come up and let me pray with you this morning. If you feel like that you're not where you once was with God, and you want me to pray with you, please come up and let me pray with you.